So I'm going to bring a word this afternoon. Actually, it was a reboot of a message I did 10 years ago. And as I was praying, the Lord led me to share this word. And as I've found with any message or, that I've shared or given, they're different. I'm 10 years older, hopefully a bit wiser. And many of you, you know, especially don't know me, but my messages aren't really written out. I have some pages of notes and some scriptures, but for the last many years, I don't know exactly when, I preach in the Spirit, and I follow what the Holy Spirit directs me to. And he led me that he wanted me to share this, at least within the title, the same title, but I'm sure it's going to end up being a quite different than for those that may have heard it 10 years ago. The title of the message is Hanging on a Tree. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. Lord, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, Lord, would only be of you, O Lord. Whatever is of the flesh, that you would strike it. Whatever I've missed, Lord, that by your Ruach, your Spirit, you'd bring it forth. And I pray this in Yeshua's mighty name. Amen. Over 3,000 years ago, the Messiah's mode of redemption was real to us in the Word of God. If someone has committed a capital crime and is put to death, they hung on a tree. His body was not to remain all night on that tree. But you must bury him the same day, because a person who has been hanged has been cursed by God. That's from Deuteronomy, Devarim, chapter 21, verses 22 through 23. Some new to the faith of walking in the faith of Yeshua and realizing, you know, sometimes we go, well, how do we get a verse or verses that are significant to our redemption and to the Messiah himself from Deuteronomy? Of course, there are many other verses in Deuteronomy, Devarim, that would speak to our Messiah, that point to our Messiah. I believe that all of the Word of God and the Hebrew Scriptures, all of them, they point to Messiah. The Messiah is the goal. He's not the end. He's the goal. But here it talks about being cursed and hung on a tree. It's exactly what Messiah Yeshua did. For many in the body of Messiah, right, there's a difficulty. It's difficult to accept that Messiah was cursed. But that is the truth. It's clearly stated in the Brit Chadashah, the Ketuvei HaShlachim, the writings of the apostles. Rav Shaul wrote in Galatians 3:13, the Messiah redeemed us from the curse pronounced in the Torah. He became cursed on our behalf. We're not comfortable. A lot of us aren't comfortable with that. We are sometimes painted this squeaky clean picture of our Redeemer. But it's a dirty business being a Redeemer. Dirty business. It's ugly. It's harsh. Seems inhuman. Although in this day and age, humanity sure has put upon the rest of humanity many horrible atrocities. Sometimes we get desensitized to what's happening in the world. Even maybe with coronavirus, we get desensitized to all the things that are happening in the world. But yes, indeed, Messiah Yeshua is cursed for us so that we could be redeemed, that we could be redeemed from the curse of our sinful nature. We tend to operate in an abundance of sin. Even the best of us tend to operate in an abundance of sin. For the Tanakh says, everyone who hangs from a stake does so and is cursed. That matches Scripture. Yeshua is fulfilling Scripture. We could almost say that all of Scripture, particularly the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, that it's Yeshua, it's the word of God. It's the word Yeshua spoken into existence. And he uses that as his model. He says, if I said it and it's been given to you, you can trust that those things are going to happen in the way I said they would happen. It's also a way for us to affirm and confirm that the things that happen after the Hebrew Scriptures, those prophecies, that they're true. That indeed, the King of the universe, the Creator of the universe, hung on a tree, cursed for us. And we celebrate that. Seems to be a bit of an oxymoron, isn't it? That we celebrate that Messiah was cursed for us so that we would no longer be cursed. Hallelujah. Hosanna to the highest. He was cursed, which is really the key, right? He was cursed, but no longer is. Like us. We were once cursed, destined for decay and to go to Sheol, hell, and we're no longer cursed, and our Messiah was cursed, and now he's not cursed either. Praise God that we can celebrate. We celebrate the death and more so we celebrate the resurrection of our living God. Seems so strange to many people that aren't believers are hearing it for the first time. They go, how strange this is that we celebrate the death of God and then we celebrate his rising and we celebrate our redemption. It all seems a bit confusing and seems not possible, right? In human terms, it's not possible. It's foolishness to us. You can't help but get a little bit of a smirk sometimes. It's like when we finally know the truth, it's like you kind of feel, well, we have something over on everybody else. And then we pray, well, I hope you get it. And recognize that Messiah, Yeshua, died for you as he died for me. The living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and Sheol, hell, from Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. I can't help but sometimes wonder if the devil thought he actually got the better of God. Even though the devil knows he's doomed, he's stubborn and he goes, well, maybe I got him. See, the unique thing about our God, the true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is he's the only God that can die and be alive again. He's the only God. If you take a hammer to a stone statue, it's going to fall apart. Try putting that puppy back together. It does seem nonsense to the world. From 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to make it clear to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God even says Yeshua is cursed. So what does that mean? The moment Yeshua stepped out of hell, he was and he is no longer cursed, praise God. And if we are believers in the Messiah, the living God, in Yeshua, Mashiach, then we don't curse them. People that say they are believers and they're cursing God or use his name in vain are really not, they're not believers based on the standards of God. And in fact, you probably find yourself still cursed. As you're cursing, so you shall be cursed. See, as believers, we have an obligation to walk in holiness as Messiah. We are holy as he is holy. And so there should be a transformation. He hung on the tree so that we could be redeemed. And due to that and the Holy Spirit that comes and indwells in us, that we can become the new creation. We're no longer just stuck with that old man. New means new. New for us means there's change. What was old is new. If we haven't been transformed, if we find ourselves saddled in the muck and mire before we knew him, then have we changed at all? Do we find ourselves in a position to be saved? Yeshua hung on a tree. Do we treat him differently now than before? He hung on a tree for us so that we could be transformed, not only in this life, but that we have an open door to eternity. Yeshua didn't hang on the cross in vain. His work is accomplished. But it may be in vain for many that have cheapened his life and his death and his resurrection. This concept of a risen Savior, it's a difficult concept. Not only for non-believers, it's easy to understand why a non-believer might have a difficulty with this, but believers have a difficulty with it. Look, this is not an algebra problem you can work out or that you can develop an algorithm for it. It can't work it out that way. It's about a faith walk. It's about trusting in something much bigger than yourself. It's trusting for what you can't touch and what you can't see. That we can envision our Messiah hanging on the cross and then being raised. It's tough for a non-believer because it seems nonsense, ridiculous. And for believers, many times it's difficult because of the culture we're raised in. They were raised in with a believing culture, and they vary greatly, that there's a problem. They struggle with that. The concept that the Messiah could be cursed runs against the natural mind. Even though the scriptures say it's truth, it seems irrational. So how could God be cursed? It seems to, in the natural, defeats the common sense that God is perfect and he can do no wrong. He's omniscient, he's omnipresent, and all those things. And then we say, but he had to be cursed. He was cursed and he died. And it seems to marginalize God. But God came a little lower than the angels so that he could put himself in our place. That he was fully man and fully God, so that he could hang on that tree. That he could make that sacrifice, that blood sacrifice that was necessary, the blood sacrifice that isn't sufficient in bulls and goats. That he's not in the order of the Levitical priesthood. He is a priest, but he's of Melchizedek. If he is Messiah, if Yeshua, if Jesus is Messiah, how could he be cursed and die? Why would I want to follow a Messiah that's been cursed? Well, that doesn't seem like a good start. I'm all for God, but he's cursed. Let's follow him. It goes against the natural order. If I'm going to follow something, I want it to be better than I am. Much bigger and better than I am. Yet God starts out lower than the angels, humbles himself and goes to the cross, sheds his blood, dies. Hanging on a tree doesn't, the percentage doesn't seem good there if you're a gambling person, if you're going to follow the right God and the truth. It doesn't seem like starting with the one that died on the cross is the best start. And throughout scripture, it talks about how God brings, the wisdom of men is folly, right? And the wisdom of God is nonsensical to the human condition. But there are, if we're open, if we walk in faith, if we're looking for the truth, the scriptures share the truth. They explain, they help share what's going on. And one of those is in Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. It explains God's actions and indeed his fate. It says this man was arrested in accordance with God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge. And through the agency of persons not bound by the Torah, you nailed him up on a stake and you killed him. To the natural eye or just reading, it doesn't seem like to make much sense at all. It doesn't really help much. But in a verse, it talks about how God is God's grant, his perfect plan from before the foundations of the world. God prepares for himself to atone for man, to take down evil. And there's hints through all of Scripture that the Messiah would do this. A predetermined plan. That's really what God reveals, particularly in the Tanakh and in the Hebrew Scriptures. He is revealing a predetermined plan of salvation through the resurrection of God. Pretty big plan. The question always is, do we believe it? Do we, we have our share in the body of Messiah that are doubters that Scripture is divine. Much of Christian theology looks at an allegorical reading of most of the text. Which leads to all kinds of problems. The only way we could be redeemed by was Messiah, Yeshua's crucifixion, his death and his rising. It is what it says. And you know, there are many, the most famous is from Isaiah 53. It speaks of a personal Messiah that dies for the sins of the world and is raised again because mankind has been led astray. We've all been led astray, it says. It comes from Isaiah. It's actually another quote from Isaiah that we've all been led astray, each of us to his own way. And that's true of believers and non-believers. The difference is, do we recognize it and are we willing to lay that down before the Creator of the universe? Are we willing to accept that God presented himself so that he could hang on a tree so that we could be redeemed? Most of the world don't think they need a redeemer. I'm a good person. I don't need this redemption that you're talking about. I can make it on my own. The death of God and his rising, it goes against all carnal thinking, all humanistic thought. It goes against the natural order of thought. If you're dead, you're dead. I mean, one of the basic tenets of faith in the Messiah and the plan of God is that we die in this world so that we make it into an eternal world, an eternal life. That goes against nature, right? The nature of life and death. It goes against that nature. This is a supernatural nature that just changes the rules of nature because there's a supernatural nature going on. There has to be, for Yeshua hung on a tree, died and was resurrected. That is a supernatural nature. In the natural, once you were dead, you were dead in the physical body sense. But Yeshua rose. He rose with the same body. He overcame hell and of death. He did it so that we also have the access to do it as well because of his first fruits. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. That's not a small thing. It's bigger than we can put our arms around. It's bigger than we can put our heads around. And that's where the real faith comes in. Can I accept these things without being able to work them out with a pencil? Without doublespeak? Or big theological words and studies? It's difficult. In the flesh, it's difficult. If we're trying to run things on our own merits, our own body, our own abilities, we're going to fail. We're never going to be able to wrap ourselves around this. It is only faith in the living God that allows us to accept, because He is the one that creates the faith. He creates the chesed, the mercy. He creates the emet, the truth. It doesn't matter if your brain says no. When it comes to Scripture and the deeds of our Messiah, what are we going to believe? Our own limitations and our own natural body, are we going to believe the Word of God and the task that Yeshua took Himself to? Those that reject Yeshua follow faulty logic. There's a lot of logic in our world, right? Everything's built on logic. Spock from Star Trek was a logical man. It's not logical. He operated everything on logic. You know what the irony is? Leonard Nimoy is Jewish. He's a Levite. In fact, that's where the thing comes from. That's a priestly sign that he used in Star Trek. Prosper. They believe that because Yeshua was hung on a tree, the cross, to die, He was cursed and therefore He could not have been the Messiah. The Scripture points to that the one on the tree will be cursed, yet the logic tells us if He was hung on a tree, he couldn't be the Messiah. See, that's one of the big mistakes, that Yeshua, He came to be fully man and fully God, little lower than the angels, so that He could do this thing for us that nobody else could do. No animal could do it. No other man could do it. It could only be God as man. A key answer to this kind of rejection is to share that we can't determine the state of a person standing with God based on their circumstances. So what do I mean by that? We can't determine who Yeshua is in the sense that He can't be God because He's on the cross just because of those circumstances. First of all, those circumstances were prophesied. Just because somebody's in jail doesn't make them guilty. Yeshua hung on the cross. He didn't hang on the cross. The carnal of it is He hung on the cross because He created trouble and He ticked everybody off. And so everybody wanted to get rid of Him. He was making trouble for the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of the day. He was even, because He was making trouble for them, He was making trouble for the Romans. Because upheaval. You can't always determine somebody's situation by their circumstances. In the case of Yeshua's crucifixion, situations are not always what they appear to the eye. Plus, we throw in the caveat that God chose to be there. Yeshua chose to be sacrificed. He says, I'm going to do this. And when his Talmudim tried to get away, he said, get behind me, Satan. He chose. Nobody killed God. Yeshua chose to be the sacrifice so that there could be redemption for the world. Situations are not always what they appear. Was Yeshua on the cross because of His weakness or because of His strength? Because of His strength. He didn't manipulate the situation. He fulfilled the word. Man, as he knew, walked did exactly what he thought they were going to do. I don't really call that manipulation. Some might. I don't. Situation's not always what they appear to the eye or even human understanding. Yeshua was cursed not because of wrongdoing on his part, but because of his taking our sin upon himself. And he is our sin bearer, suffering the penalty of our sin. He didn't suffer because of his sin. He had no sin. We need a redeemer. How do we get out of this hellhole? Through the redeemer. And that will provide a new heavens and a new earth. He wiped away the bill of charges against us. Because of the regulations, it stood as a testimony against us. He's talking about the Torah that points to the sin, right? Because of the regulations stood as a testimony against us. Every time we break Torah, the sin would show. But he removed it by nailing it to the execution stake. He didn't nail Torah to the execution stake. He nailed the sin to the execution stake. The truth is not a curse, but the truth becomes a curse when we break the truth. See, we go, what? He bore our sins in his body on the stake so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds you were healed. From Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, and from 1 Peter 2, 24. We deserve to die. He didn't deserve to die. And partly, want to make sense of it, he didn't deserve to die. And in fact, he did die, but then he was resurrected because he didn't deserve to die. He paid the penalty. He paid the price. He gave up this life so that we may have life again. How are we doing with that life? How are we doing with that new life? Are we abusing it? Are we confusing it? Do we not look at it? How's our daily walk? This is actually a bit from Isaiah 53, verse 5. It's not for us to make sense, but to accept it and be blessed. See, are we willing to accept the work of God on the cross and be blessed by it? Or do we try and belittle it and reduce it? Do we try to make it fit our perspective? To our convenience? Yeshua's temporary state of being cursed was for our eternal welfare. And it was planned. He planned it. God planned it from the foundations of the earth before anything was created. God had planned this great plan to redeem the creation that he knew that would fall short. What an amazing God we have. He could have started over numerous times. He persevered. You know, we think Yeshua just suffered on the cross. He suffered since he created man. He suffered a long time. From Adam and Eve, God has suffered. From the first Adam, God has suffered and endured and persevered and loved us. So much that he made a plan that he would hang on the cross to restore us to right relationship with him. You know, the idea that someone could bear the punishment deserved by another is still, as I kind of mentioned, was it can perplex us all. But from God's perspective, it's a perfect plan. The perfect plan. The animal sacrificial system of Torah demonstrates the principle, right? Innocent animals beyond their ability, right? Animals beyond our ability to count, right? Millions and millions and millions and millions of animals were sacrificed during the time of the tabernacle and the temple, the tent of meeting. They stood in the gap, but they couldn't solve the sin problem. They could only cover sin. They couldn't take it away. The blood of an animal can't satisfy the sin nature of man before God. Look, many of Judaism in this world think that that having the third temple and reinstituting the sacrifices they were once more will solve their problems. I can say that. I was raised that way. I have the advantage of introspection, of knowing what I was taught and the limitations of it. Innocent animals died because of our sin. The price to be paid. Yet that price wasn't complete. It wasn't a full price. Only Messiah could die and pay the full price. It seems, when you look at the animal sacrifices, however brutal and unfair or even senseless as it appears, these sacrifices were a shadow of the coming of the Messiah. Maybe a preparation for understanding, a preparation to understand what final atonement might mean or look like. You know, the reality is many people today, Jew and Gentile, lack the understanding they need for the blood atonement, the blood of the Messiah. The thought that a man, God, would have to atone for their sins is just barbaric and ridiculous. How does sacrificing a man who says he's God change anything? Well, by faith, we know God is prepared. He said what would be would have to be, and do we accept that? It's not a matter of that we have to make sense of it, because these things are way above our pay grade. Walking in faith in the Messiah and faith in God, the God that created this universe, is above all of our pay grades. It doesn't matter how much schooling you have, how much insight you have, how many times you died and came back, for those that say things like that. Doesn't matter how many dreams you have. We might get pieces, but we can't comprehend this all. There's no way. We're not God. Many times when I teach, or Rabbi Eduardo teaches, and I'm sure many other rabbis or pastors or priests, they teach, and people aren't, they're teaching scripture and walking in faith of those scriptures isn't enough for many people. No, you got to explain it better. I found when you take the simplest truths that are by faith, and you, the more you try to explain them, the worse it gets. Because the reality is, they're not going to accept anything as proof of what the simplest answers are. Well, we need it more than ever, right? Our world is still, as Jeremiah 23:10 describes, for the land is full of adulterers because of a curse. The land is mourning. The desert pastures have dried up. Their course is evil. Their power misused. Of course, this is specifically Jeremiah was talking about Israel and the land of Israel, land of Canaan. But it's representative of the whole world as it stands today. The world is in chaos. Rejection of God. For the message about the execution stake is nonsense to those in the process of being destroyed, but to us in the process of being saved, it's the power of God. That's from 1 Corinthians 1:18. Wow. It's actually that supports what I just said, that no matter what you say sometimes, it's never going to be enough, and it just makes it harder. For those of faith, by faith we accept, we receive, and we walk, but those that don't are being destroyed. Only by the blood of the Lamb can we be saved. A dying world. We're in a dying world. Coronavirus is a symptom of a dying world, at the very least. A dying world has only one hope, and that is the one hanging on a tree 2,000 years ago. It says in Zechariah chapter 14, people will live there, the curse will be broken, and Jerusalem will live in safety. Yeshua hanging on a tree has allowed for this to be. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that you have brought the deliverer, Yeshua Messiah. There is safety in him. There is a time when everything has to happen has happened, that there's a new heavens, a new earth, and that we are living an eternal life, and joy and blessing, all kinds of things. Thank God that's true. There is the end of all the ugly, horrible things that sin brings. Praise the Lord. Even though Yeshua himself did nothing to deserve the curse, he willingly took it upon himself so that he could be free from God's wrath. To reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace through him, through having his son shed his blood by being executed on a stake. Last thought is from Colossians 1:20. Yeshua made a way so that we would no longer be under God's wrath. His righteous wrath. But the world, the unbelieving world, is still under the wrath of God, his righteous wrath. We don't like that. That really makes us uncomfortable. Hanging on the cross, the tree, for us is Yeshua's fulfillment of Torah. He fills it up. He's the goal, not the end, the goal. The Torah states that those hanged should not be left all night, lest the land be defiled. You know, Roman crucifixion 2,000 years ago was sometimes lasted for days. But Yeshua died within hours. The truth is that the accounts of his death clearly suggest that he willed his death once he satisfied God's requirements. He didn't need to hang there for days. He did the work. It also fulfills Scripture. But Yeshua, again, crying out in a loud voice, yielded up his spirit, which comes from Matthew 27:50. The world doubted Yeshua as king, didn't they? In Mark 15, so he's the Messiah, is he? The King of Israel? Let him come down from that stake. If we see that, then we'll believe in him. That's bull. It's not true. They wouldn't have believed if he had come down from that stake. Guess what? He not only got off the cross, but he rose in 3 days. Hallelujah. Fulfillment of prophecy, yes. But, man, that's a lot of chutzpah. He actually got down, died, and rose again. It says in Mark chapter 16, verse 6, don't be surprised. You're looking for Yeshua executed on the stake. He's risen. He's not here. How classic is it when they say he's not here? Imagine probably saying it in a high voice just like that, because they're totally freaked out too. He's not here. Not only was he not there, that allowed him now to be everywhere. Amen. He does that not only from the throne in heaven, but the Holy Spirit that he provides to us, the Comforter. He's everywhere because he did go to the cross. And guess what? And we are with him because he got down. He came off that cross. He died and he was arisen. He sends the Spirit and we are with him 24/7 if you choose to be. When the Messiah was executed on the stake as a criminal, I was too. So that my proud ego no longer lives. But the Messiah lives in me. And the life I now live in my body, I live by the same trusting faithfulness that the Son of God had, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Galatians 2:20. But is that true? Is that true of each of us? Is it true of you? Or you, or you, or you, or you, or everywhere. Is it true? Are you living that new life? Have you given up that old life? Are you walking in that new life? Do you walk and talk and think as the Messiah, as the Messiah living inside of you? Or have you only maybe carved out a tiny little part in your heart or your mind that says, you know what? Lord, stay there. It's not why he died. He died for all of us. He died for the whole enchilada. Body, soul, spirit, hair, no hair. If any curse was causeless, it was the one born by the Messiah. Therefore, the curse could not remain upon him. Death was defeated, and he rose from the dead, providing the way for those who trust in him to also rise from the dead. My brothers and sisters, have you risen from the dead? On this celebration of the resurrection, are you alive? Are you not dead? Are you one of the undead? Yeshua's hanging on a tree provides eternal life if we choose to follow him, not only on the tree, but getting off the tree and being born again. Maybe you find yourself, you think you're still stuck on the tree yourself. Maybe you think you're still cursed because of your circumstances. Will we follow him from the cross to the grave so that we may live life abundantly? My brothers and sisters, this is a lifetime calling. This is not something you just do. It's not something you just say. It's something you walk in your whole lives. Yeah, we stumble, we fall. Are you picking yourself back up? A lifetime calling? Or are you only a part-time believer? This is a celebration of Yeshua rising, making a new life for us, an eternal life, if we receive him. And are you living it to its fullest? Even in your imperfection, are you living it to your fullest? Is God pleased with you, or is he disappointed? God can love us, but he loves us and can be disappointed at the same time. Are we resurrection children? Yeshua hangs so we wouldn't. We no longer have to hang. We wouldn't have to doubt. We wouldn't have to wonder. So the question is, what do we owe him? The answer is easy. We owe him everything. Everything. Your mind, your body, your soul, your resources, everything. You owe him everything. We owe him our very lives. We owe him our faith. We owe him our trust. We owe him our obedience. We owe him our very lives. Amen.